Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for Trinity Sunday 2009. A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people, "Ask now of the days of old, before your time, ever since God created man upon the earth. Ask from one end of the sky to the other. Did anything so great ever happen before? Was it ever heard of? Did a people ever hear the voice of God speaking from the midst of fire, as you did, and live? Or did any God venture to go and take a nation for himself from the midst of another nation, by testings, by signs and wonders, by war, with strong hand and outstretched arm, by great terrors, all of which the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your very eyes? This is why you must now know and fix in your heart that the Lord is God in the heavens above and on earth below, and that there is no other. You must keep his statutes and commandments that I enjoin on you today, that you and your children after you may prosper, and that you may have long life on the land which the Lord your God is giving you forever." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Blessed the people the Lord has chosen to be his own.
Blessed the people the Lord has chosen to be his own.
Upright is the word of the Lord, and all his works are trustworthy. He loves justice and right. Of the kindness of the Lord the earth is full.
Blessed the people the Lord has chosen to be his own.
By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, by the breath of his mouth all their host. For he spoke, and it was made. He commanded, and it stood forth.
Blessed the people the Lord has chosen to be his own.
See, the eyes of the Lord are upon those who fear him, upon those who hope for his kindness, to deliver them from death and preserve them in spite of famine.
Blessed the people the Lord has chosen to be his own.
Our soul waits for the Lord, who is our help and our shield. May your kindness, O Lord, be upon us who have put our hope in you.
Blessed the people the Lord has chosen to be his own. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption, through whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if only we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they all saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, until the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Brian and I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello, everyone.
And Dawn, this is my last podcast as a deacon.
Brian, this is unbelievable. I mean, Deacon Brian, this is unbelievable. So if I'm listening to this on Sunday, I should be saying Father Brian.
That's right.
Oh, dear. I don't know. It's been a long road.
God help his people.
Amen.
That's right. No, it has. It has been a long road, but I'm near the end of it. So.
Well, I don't think it's the end of the road. It's just a turn in the road.
A turn in the road. Right, exactly.
A whole new, you're veering off and going onto a different expressway.
Yeah.
Oh, that's and you know, maybe we should mention for people that may not know, where will you, this new expressway, where will you be residing and things like that?
Well, it's right near the Can of Worms, 590 and 490.
Okay, beautiful.
Look at that. Just to keep your analogy, but It's Peace of Christ Parish, and there are three worship sites. So one of them is Peace of Christ at St. John the Evangelist on Humboldt Street, right near 490, or right near the can, really, on that one. The other one is St. Ambrose, which is on Culver and Empire. And the third one is St. James, which is on Brett Road. And so I'm looking forward to being able to serve the people there again, actually. They had to put up with me one summer already, so they know what they're getting into.
In the beginning of July, you'll be there?
Right, June 30th at 6 p.m. when all assignments start, of course.
That's the time to rob rectory, 6 p.m. Everybody's moving from one rectory to
the next. That's right. Get in and introduce yourself as the maintenance person.
I don't think we should be promoting this on the podcast.
Probably not. But anyway, we're celebrating Trinity Sunday this week. The Trinity being kind of important in our tradition here, as we tend to begin almost every single prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, which is the Trinity.
Oh, that's what the Trinity is.
Right. It's not Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, as some people seem to think.
That's really funny. I never thought about that. You know, one of my favorite things about, in artwork at least, is there's an icon by Andre Rublev. I think it's R-U-B-L-E-V. You can Google it. And so it is, and some people term it the Trinity, and it has Jesus, Joseph. Now I'm doing Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.
Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.
Jesus, God the Father, and the Spirit sitting around like this little table thing. And I have this in my room. It's right across from where my bed is. So when I wake up, that's the first thing I see. And it's sort of funny because I place myself in that picture when I start to pray sometimes. And I can tell how I'm feeling by where I place myself. Sometimes I pull a chair right up to the table and I chat along with those guys. And sometimes I've got nothing left to give, so I'm sitting on the floor against the table. But it's all about relationships and how I relate to each member of the Trinity. But that's what I love so much about the Trinity itself. It's all relational. And I just think God's really cool because he created us as relational people, and God himself is relational. So it's neat.
Yep. And just as a brief note, if anybody wants to pause the podcast, they can do that. And if you just Google Holy Trinity icon, that'll be the first images that come up are your images. So if people want to do that. Well, thank you for coming back to us after pausing the podcast to Google Dawn's image, or the image that Dawn was talking about. And Dawn was talking about the Trinity being relational. And I think that's one of the great things, too, about the Trinity, is that's what we learn, is that God, of God's very nature, God is relational. And there's two ways of relations. First of all, there's the relationship within the Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we call that the immanent Trinity, the relation inside. But then there's something we call the economic Trinity, which is how God manifests himself to the rest of the world. Because God's not just in relationship with himself, but he's also in relationship with his creation. I think that's one of the great things we learn from the Trinity as well, because what we learn is that God entered into human history in the person of Jesus Christ. So God came into relationship with human beings as a human being himself. And then God continues to be in relationship with human beings in this economic Trinity through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, of course, guides the church. It guides us as individuals. And it's found everywhere in the world, really. And so God continues to constantly be in relationship with his creation. And of course, we can only know that when we know of the Son and the Holy Spirit and the Father, and we know of the Trinity. So I think that's an important concept to learn. And then, of course, what that can draw us into is to coming to this question of how does this change our own lives now that we know that God is indeed, not only in relationship just with himself, but is in relationship with the world. How does that change us as beings? How does that call us to be temples of the Holy Spirit, as we say, with our bodies, but to make God's Spirit known? Because we're all members of the body of Christ, which is one of the members of the Trinity. And we all have been, we've all received the Holy Spirit probably at confirmation, but also at baptism. Mm-hmm. So there's that question of how do we manifest the Holy Spirit in the world? I think that's the real challenge that we have from the Trinity and from today. One of the ways, of course, is through the sacraments. You know, clearly we manifest it. But also, those sacraments have to change us in the way we live our lives. It's not good enough just to come and receive the sacraments or to think that the God is only present when we're doing liturgy. But somehow God has to be manifest in the whole world. And that's one of the beautiful things about our lives as Catholics, Dawn, is that we talk about, you know, my role as a priest is going to be to nourish the people of God, but it's so that the people of God can go out and make God manifest to the rest of the world. So a lot of times we seem to think that's the priest's job, is to make God known. But the priest's job is to make him known to the church so that the church, so that the people who are members of the church who can go out into the world and make God known.
Which is what we hear in today's gospel reading. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations.
That's right.
That's what Jesus is telling them. Although we're not supposed to baptize them as lay people. Now you can do that. That's very exciting.
That's right.
But you can, I guess this isn't going to come out right because my brain hasn't thought it through, but we participate in that baptism by bringing them in, helping them come into relationship with God and helping them to come into the church. And so we do participate in that baptizing because we are the community.
And helping them to live that to its fullest.
Yes.
That I think is the key thing. We're all called to do that, to help each other live their own vocation. So it's not just the priest who's responsible for helping the lay people, you know, live their vocation by going out into the world, but the lay people should also call the priest to task every now and then.
Oh, I'm good at that.
Yes. but also to make them realize that, you know, hey, your job is to nourish us and we need to be nourished, or your job is to lead us in prayer. So do that and do it well, you know. Or if your priest isn't leading you well in prayer, tell them. That's what I would say. I would want somebody to tell me. I mean, I might be hurt initially, but hopefully it would make me think, what do I need to do to lead these people in prayer if what I'm doing is ineffective? Mm. So I think that our jobs are to nourish, but also out in the world to call people to task. If you're in a job and people aren't treating people with the dignity that they deserve in the workplace, you know, maybe your job is to say, hey, you know, so-and-so is a person too, and that wasn't really nice the way you treated so-and-so. Or, you know, this other corporation that we're competing against, those are people too, and we have to compete against them, but do it fairly. You know, we can't cheat and steal their ideas or, you know, whatever else, change numbers on our tax forms or anything like that.
Well, I think that you bring up a good point there, because it can sound intimidating when we're told to go make disciples. You know, I don't want to go out and tell everybody about, you know, hand them a Bible and say, here, read it. But that's one way. But just the way you live your life can be an example that would bring people in. By standing firm in your belief and not cheating or not, even if it comes down to it. One time, it's a long story, I guess. I had a friend who, he was working at a computer consulting company, and he said, you know, I have this real quandary because this company wants me to do this, and if I don't do it, I'm not going to get a promotion. And what they want him to do was something slightly illegal. And so by not doing what they wanted, he didn't get that promotion, but he stood firm in what he knew was true and what a witness he provided to other people.
Yeah. Yeah. And those are, I mean, when you hear stories like that, those are powerful examples. And ultimately, you know, that's what we're called to. And in some sense, we know that that's going to lead us to some form of the cross. Mm-hmm. Christ doesn't make any qualms about telling us that if you want to follow him, take up your cross and then follow me, because it's not going to be a path that's always rewarded. A lot of times we're taught either in movies or everything that somehow in the end, as long as you do what's good, you'll end up rewarded. And you will, but it might not be on this earth. It might be, you know, in the next earth, and the new heavens and the new earth come around. Because a lot of times our culture doesn't. It rewards people who do behave unethically at times. We've seen it certainly in the crisis that we have with the financial institutions and how bad decisions, and there's the people who made these decisions made lots and lots of money at the expense of a lot of people and a lot of jobs now. Mm-hmm. And it's a sad situation, and it's not necessarily going to be a situation where those people will be brought to task and the people who have suffered will, you know, all of a sudden be vindicated by, you know, the President Obama or any of these bank deals that they're trying to do right now. But hopefully they will be by God and by Christ in the end.
As it says in the second reading, We're joint heirs with Christ, if only we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him.
Mm-hmm. And that's the key right there, is that our suffering is not pointless. We're suffering with Christ when we suffer. And in doing so, we can be glorified by him. And I think that is how the Trinity has changed the world. It's made mm-hmm. us realize that in order to be glorified, we need to go through this period of suffering, and by adhering to what is right rather than adhering to what is popular.
Amen.
And on that note, Dawn, we will end our podcast.
Last time signing off as Deacon Brian.
Yes, Kathy will be happy. We mention her by name now. And we hope that you'll join us next week, and hopefully it'll be Father Brian and Dawn on the podcast.
Hopefully.
Well, join us next week on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.